to Hurwitz's House of Horror.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hurwitz's House of Horror. I'm your host, Steve Hurwitz, and this is the podcast where I force my co-host Jefferson Miller to watch a terrible movie or a great movie that he would otherwise never ever watch, and then we talk about it. With me again, as always, is that fantastic co-host, Jefferson Miller. How's it going, man? Wow. I'm assuming that was your impression of a character from the movie we just watched today.
Maybe. We'll have to see.
Yeah. Well, we are back in the podcasting room after a week off. I think it's been 2 weeks since we recorded our last episode, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which was a chaotic yet really fun episode. I took a little vacation, and so I gave you the week off to not indulge yourself in anything horror related.
Yeah, you needed it after recording the Buffy episode. You just needed like a week to cool off.
I was just like, man, that was chaos.
You hit save and you're like, you know what, dude? Fuck this. I need a week off. Yeah. I need to go somewhere and just chill for a week.
I literally went across the country to just
I need to get as far away from you as I possibly can.
But you know what? In the end, you know, you dragged me back and here I am. Here we are.
I hunted you down.
Yep.
Put you in a big old bag and dragged you back to California.
Kicking and screaming. Mm-hmm. Mostly just kicking.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, welcome back, everyone. Thank you for joining us back here. I hope none of you stop listening. I'm glad you're here. Well, with that fantastic intro of mine, let's jump into the Horror Hour here. Jeff. Have you got any Horror Hour related news going on? Anything in your week or anything you heard?
No. Nope.
Yep. Sounds about right.
Yep.
Well, in my corner of the universe, I've got a few things I'd like to talk about. First of all, in our Buffy episode, we did talk about Camp Crystal Lake, the show that's going to be coming based off of Friday the 13th. And we were discussing like what they can and can't use. And I brought up how they aren't able to use like adult Jason and all that kind of stuff. And we weren't sure what they were going to do. And like literally maybe 10 minutes after you left, after we had recorded the episode, I see an article from Fangoria and it literally talks about them and or the show and everything that they can use.
I think the headline was like, they can use everything from all the movies.
Yep, pretty much.
It was like, oh, okay.
In the interview with Fangoria, they talked to Brian Fuller, the man who's going to be developing this show. And the question that was asked was, so for starters, what characters and locations and whatnot are you allowed to use from the Friday the 13th franchise? And Fuller replied, everything. We can use everything. We can go to hell. We can go to space. That's not to say that we will do these things. Although if we do go to 2 seasons, I will be lobbying hard to go to space. Excuse me, 10 seasons there. But they were talking about how the rights for the show are completely different than the rights to the movies.
Right.
Yeah. So like the movie rights are tied up with New Line Cinema and other studios. But because this is going to be a streaming thing, everything underneath the umbrella there I have access to, which I think is awesome.
It's a pretty smart way to go forward, too, if you're kind of stuck in that limbo and in with the movie rights. Mm-hmm. So much money is made on streaming nowadays anyway. It's like, just do that.
Yeah, let us have everything.
Yeah.
So we have so many new options now. Maybe it'll like flash forward into where Jason is now. Or like you were saying, this will be like a bit of a soft reboot.
That's what I was imagining anyway.
Yeah. And I'm just even more pumped about this now. Mm-hmm. I am stoked, baby.
Should be interesting. Yeah, I think based on the article, I mean, I read it however many weeks ago. But yeah, it sounds like it'll just be starting from fresh. And just telling the entire story over again, basically, yeah, a reboot, like we just said.
One of the things that I was reading, too, was that one of the reasons these people ended up going with Peacock was because Peacock was lobbying very hard. And they also were hinting that, like, if they signed up with Peacock, they would get a second season pretty much guaranteed.
Right. It's like all but guaranteed, basically.
Pretty much. And so, I mean, knowing that you can do, I feel like, a little bit more because you know this is going to be continuing. so you can start a story and not have to worry about it being incomplete
right.
if it got canceled or something.
The only, I gotta say, Peacock, mm-hmm. I wouldn't rank that among the higher end of streaming services.
Agreed.
I think it might be one of the only services, I mean, that I don't use. But maybe this will, you know, maybe this is the start. I used to talk shit about Hulu also. And now I'm
this is true.
Back in Hulu camp after they did Prey and Hellraiser. So,
yeah, they've done some good stuff.
Yeah. So maybe Peacock is on the rise also.
Might be. Peacock did have the Halloween Ends release. They had that like day of. Hmm. So maybe they're getting more into like the horror aspect or the horror area there.
Right.
So we're excited now even more than before. So that's the first piece of news that we have for that. My second piece of news, which I think you will be psyched to talk about, is I finally went to go see Terrifier 2.
Oh.
The movie about that clown that just murders people.
Yep.
And I was telling you that I don't know how I felt about that very first one. I still didn't know until I saw the second one. And I can now say I did not really like the first, but I absolutely loved the second.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. There was like an actual story that they put in as opposed to just two people who get like trapped inside of a building and they get murdered and other people get involved, get right. murdered. There was just senseless killing, which not to say that there wasn't senseless killing in this, but the story that they managed to cram in, it was a long movie, about 2 hours and 15 minutes. I'll be honest. I got really into it. It wasn't until towards the very end where I started to kind of feel it dragging. Because it's pretty much the protagonist and Art the Clown playing a cat and mouse game. And like I understand that it was there to build the tension. You know, you're rooting for, hopefully, for the final girl in this. Lauren Lavera, I believe was her name, who portrayed the character. She was great, by the way, too. Hmm. But yeah, the story had me hooked. The violence was pretty intense. There was for sure that scene that I believe everyone was talking about where they either puked or were passing out.
Right.
It was fucking intense. I'll
did you pass out, puke, pee, poo, you know, any of those things?
A little bit of everything all at once.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But then I like shocked myself back awake. It was an extraordinarily brutal scene where a woman gets scalped. She has her arms broken, one ripped off, slashes into the back. She gets like her chest cut open. Then she gets like salt and bleach poured in the wounds.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Yeah. That sounds like a fun movie to watch.
You know, it was.
I actually saw this movie called Terrifier 4 the same day you were watching that. And there's a scene where someone poops into someone else's mouth and they just chew on it and chomp on it. It was a good time.
See, that doesn't sound like a good time to me.
Yeah.
But hey, to each their own. You exactly. enjoy that and I'll enjoy my Terrifier 2 nonsense. Yeah, yeah. But like it starts off with just a grisly murder and that sets the tone and it pretty much it picks up a year after the first one. And I mean, this film, it's kind of crazy how well it's done because it was, I think, like on a Kickstarter or some sort of thing. The director wanted to get like $50,000 to make the sequel and they ended up raising about $250,000 for that movie. Yeah. And then on top of that, because it's been doing so well and it keeps like spreading out to more theaters. I think the theatrical run is finally over, or maybe like there are some smaller theaters kind of still playing it, but it managed to rope in about, at the time of recording this, about $10 million off of that $250,000 budget, which is bananas for an independent yeah. film.
That's insane.
Yeah. And it set a story in motion and it left some questions that are unanswered, and seeing how well it's done right now, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a third one and I'm looking forward to it.
Would you include Art the Clown in the, in like the category of horror, icon?
I would,
like It and
like a Jason or a
Jason. Freddy. Yeah.
Yeah. I would say for sure this movie has definitely like propelled him into the spotlight as one of the big bads, you know? Mm-hmm. He is a clown and just horrifying and freaky. And I think he's also a demon.
Okay.
Yeah.
There Similar was, to It, right? Isn't he a demon clown?
Well, he is a alien.
Oh,
or
right,
like an
right.
interdimensional being or something yeah. like that. Yeah. Like there are no answers as to what Art really is, but they're kind of like laid some groundwork and he does get his head chopped off at the end. I guess I'm just going to go on some spoilers. Right now, I mean, if you haven't seen this movie, you're probably not going to, or you already have. So he gets his head chopped off at the very end, and then he ends up getting his head birthed out of somebody.
Okay.
Yeah. And his head is alive, or it's still like it's.
Does it have
smiling.
A little tiny body on it?
No, I think it's just okay, a head.
See, this is where we diverge.
Yeah. That's why you're not going to watch
it. That's the only reason I'm not going to watch it.
If there was a tiny body, I'd be all about it.
Yeah.
No tiny body, unfortunately.
I will say this for, you know, no, it's no secret that I am not a fan.
Yes.
I will say I'm glad for people who like that genre of movie. There's like a new, what am I trying to say? You know, it's not just a reboot or remake where it's like Michael Myers again, Jason again. It's like a new character.
It's its own thing.
It's something original, which I always appreciate when someone goes out of their way to try and do something new, even though it is just like, I'm a clown who kills, which isn't the most creative thing, but it's not it again. It's not, you know, Jason again. So that's cool.
The same old, same old.
Yeah.
I'm psyched for how well it's doing. I'm glad it's doing well. And I would never recommend this to you, Jeff.
Yeah.
I think I sent you a text being like, I'm seeing Terrifier 2. And you just responded, oh no.
Just a picture of me like jumping out of a moving car.
Or maybe you said, why?
Yeah.
Something like that. But I do really appreciate, like, it is gross and the effects look great and just over the top.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, if gore is your thing, they've put in the story and I think it's rather enjoyable. And if you're into these types of movies, I definitely recommend it. And I want to hear your thoughts if you have seen it or do see it. Any of the listeners out there, not you, Jeff.
Nope.
But you, the listener.
No one wants to hear my thoughts about Terrifier 2.
As soon as somebody like had a limb broken, I was like, well, Jeff would hate this. Yep. On top of all the other reasons why you would hate
it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Lots of reasons. How many clown noses would you give Terrifier 2 out of 10?
I'd give it like 7 or 8.
Okay, nice.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting realizing that if there's a story, I was into it because it's pretty much the same as the first with over the top kills and gore and stuff, but I don't know why that just didn't intrigue me or interest me when I finished it. And like I said, like as soon as that, as the second one finished, I was like, wow, loved that. Did not like the first.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know some people who preferred the first, I think because it was, you know, there was no plot to it. It was just the killings and
straightforward. Like it's the first one.
Exactly. Know. So, you know, to each their own. If you liked all of that from the first, they definitely have that in the second. It's just going to be a bit longer, but. Oh, a dude gets stabbed in the dick, too. That's when I was like, oh, no.
Yeah, it doesn't sound so good.
Yeah. But I give that, again, 7 to 8 little black clown dot noses out of 10. I think it's a hoot and a holler. All right, moving along. Jeff, did you watch the trailer for Christmas Bloody Christmas? I think I said that wrong.
I think that sounds right. Yeah.
Christmas Bloody Christmas.
Yeah, I gotta say, surprised yet another movie about a Santa Claus just like wreaking havoc alongside Santa Fight. What is that movie called? With David Sheriff from Stranger Things?
Die Hard Santa.
Yeah, Die Hard Santa.
Yeah. It kind of seems like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
He gets locked in a place or he has to fight some terrorists.
And
or something.
I'm gonna be honest. Okay, a couple things.
Yes.
First off, I hope they announce 2 more movies that are about some version of Santa Claus, just like, letting down the hammer on people so that we can do a full month of December of just movies about Santa Claus beating people up.
It's not a bad idea.
Which would be great. Secondly, yeah, I did watch the trailer.
Perfect. What can you tell us about this trailer?
About the trailer? Ooh,
yeah, just like.
So it seems to be about a, you know, they make a robot Santa Claus with artificial intelligence, which, okay, let's just move quickly past that.
Just sweep that under
like
the rug.
Work at toy stores or something,
I guess.
And then, of course, you know, it gets recalled. It's like Chucky, but Santa Claus, and he goes on a killing spree, it seems like. And he has like laser eyes and stuff, which is, you know. and then they try and hunt him down. It looks insane.
It does.
But I gotta say, surprisingly, based on the trailer, the style of it is intriguing to me. I feel like there's enough substance there and enough like the way it was shot I'm intrigued. I might enjoy that movie.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by your reaction to it.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I really like themed movies, like around certain holidays.
Right.
It's fun.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I was just sold immediately. Killer Santa.
Well, there's enough scenes in there that it's like, there could be some fun, you know, like there's a scene where Santa like stands up and he has green lasers like shooting out of his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a girl with a shotgun and they're in like a toy store. I'm like, you know what? This could be a great, great time.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And fun fact, friend of the show, Aaron, sent me the link for this trailer.
Oh, nice.
And apparently,
thanks, Aaron.
The movie was filmed in her small town of Placerville.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So she sent that to me and
hell yeah,
it sparked my interest even more now. So I'm looking forward to that one. And I mean, when that comes out, I did not see a release date because I was not paying attention, but I think it's this year.
Whenever it does come out, I'm going to just say we'll have to watch it.
All right. Yeah. Maybe we'll just watch it and talk about it in the Horror Hour, or maybe mm-hmm. we'll put a whole episode towards it. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. After we watch it. So that's something to look forward to. I'm looking forward to, again, any holiday themed horror movie.
Same.
Yeah. Finally.
You mean like Jack Frost?
Exactly. With Michael Keaton.
Right. Yeah. Terrifying movie.
He's that snowman.
Yeah. Yeah. He's snowman dad.
I don't know what that movie's about.
This kid's dad dies and then he turns into a snowman, I believe. And then he melts in the end. I don't know if that's true.
He loses his dad twice.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
And then
there's, you know, the Santa Claus, another horror movie themed in Christmas, where a man kills Santa Claus mm-hmm. and takes over his body.
You know, I feel like the Santa Claus, like that's a curse that gets like bestowed upon you. Cause right. you know, like you have a horrible transformation. You grow a beard, you get fat.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just,
you're enslaved into a lifelong, you know,
yeah.
Your life is over.
Mm-hmm.
You have to live at the North Pole.
Yep.
And you have candy. To work.
Yeah. For 364 days a year.
Yeah. I'm like making toys.
Actually, I guess 365 because you're working all.
You work in a factory and then you like bust your ass on Christmas night.
Yeah. Although, let me tell you this. I saw a trailer for like the Santa Clauses or the newest one.
Mm-hmm. The Santa Clauses is the fourth in the series.
And it seems like he's interviewing people to take over the job, which makes no sense.
Nope.
Because he didn't want it in the first one. I've never seen these movies. Let me just.
You haven't.
Throw that out there. No. Although for some reason, I think you made me watch some scenes from Santa Claus 3.
It's bad.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You've seen them all?
I just recently watched the first two again, like 2 days ago. The first one's good.
Okay.
We don't need to get, you know, this episode's not about the Santa Claus.
I feel like it might become
maybe
that.
It is now. Yeah. Make sure to double check the title of this podcast if you're listening, just to make sure it's about Basket Case and not the Santa Claus. The first one's good.
Okay.
Second one goes off the rails. Again, a toy Santa that comes to life and starts a military regime and enslaves the elves into making coal. It's a coal mine.
What happens to Santa or Tim Allen?
He's off fucking around trying to get a wife.
Oh.
Because of the Santa Claus.
I thought he had a wife in the first
where
one.
Where he has to find a wife. He has an ex-wife in the first one.
Ah.
So he has to trick someone into marrying him in the second one. And then she turns into Mrs. Claus and she can't leave the North Pole either.
Does she like have a horrible transformation too, or does she stay the same?
Well, here's the misogyny of it. Uh-oh. She transforms in the end of the movie.
Uh-huh.
They make her a little bit like plump.
Oh.
He's like full fat.
Yep.
Like Santa. She gets a little plump, but she's still blonde. And then jump to the third movie and she's just blonde. She's just like, hi, I'm beautiful.
Oh. Do you
think and like, he's Santa Claus.
Again or still?
By the way, when they get together, he looks normal like Tim Allen. And then they get married and then he's like, whoa. And his belly goes like. And then he bursts into Santa Claus.
Oh, Jesus.
It's like a nightmare.
I'm like imagining his skin like exploding out. Whereas it's mm-hmm. just a Santa.
Into a big fat jolly belly.
Wait, so he.
He's like, gotcha.
He's not Santa when they meet. He's just a normal guy.
No, because apparently he slowly is like turning not like his Santa-ness is slowly fading away.
Why?
Because if he doesn't find a wife by like a certain time, he stops being Santa, which like,
didn't
okay.
he not want to be Santa in the first Santa? Place?
Exactly.
Yeah. I guess he's just falling in love with the job.
Yep.
Wow.
Needs to find that wife.
And then, I mean, at this point, you got to watch 3 and 4, huh?
Right. And then in 3, you have Jack Frost show up.
Yeah.
Played by Martin Short.
That's right.
Terrifying. they steadily get worse.
I believe it.
And, you know, you have the Tooth Fairy who thinks he's a man and he's like, Tooth Fairy is too late, too ladylike. My wings are too dainty or whatever.
Who says that? Santa?
The Tooth Fairy.
Oh.
He wants to be called the Mullinator. And and then in the fourth one, yeah, he interviews like NFL stars to be Santa Claus or something stupid like that. Because Eli Manning, I think, makes a guest appearance.
Oh, yeah. I think I saw that in one of the trailers.
Yeah. It made me angry. Angrier than Jack Frost. So.
You remember when Dwayne The Rock Johnson played the Tooth Fairy in a movie called The Tooth Fairy?
I do remember that. I never saw it, thankfully.
Uh-huh. I have nothing else to say about that.
That's
just
a prequel
to
Black Adam.
Oh, man. That's how the evolution of the character began. Yeah. Wow, that's weird. I think he had hair in that movie. Remember when The Rock had hair?
Yeah.
Yeah, what a weird time.
And he had like that really tall eyebrow that he used and his elbow.
Was he the people's elbow?
He was.
Is that what they called him?
I believe it was called the people's elbow and also the people's eyebrow. I think they both belong to the people. I'm not sure.
He doesn't own any part of his body.
Yeah.
That's weird.
That's why. And they're like, well, we decided we're going to use your people's parts to
Jesus
play Black Adam.
Christ, we really just went off the rails on the Santa Claus, huh?
Uh-huh.
Okay, cool.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson is not in the Santa Claus.
No, yeah, I don't know why I had to bring that up, but I just thought you would
also
like-
just as a side note. Do we still call him Dwayne The Rock Johnson or is it just Dwayne Johnson now?
I think,
or is it just The Rock?
I think it's just The Rock. No, I think it's just Dwayne. No,
just
I don't
Dwayne. No last name.
No, I am Dwayne.
Starring Dwayne as Santa Claus, as the Tooth Fairy, like Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. The Nutty Professor.
Yeah.
I am.
Anyway, in this episode, we watched The Nutty Professor starring as the Tooth Fairy.
What a terrifying movie that is.
Mm-hmm. So,
well, let's get back on track here.
Here we go.
So one final bit of news. This is a bit of old news, but I wanted to bring it up to you just because I kind of want to see some of your thoughts on this.
Okay.
So David Gordon Green, the director of the new Halloween trilogy, is going to be directing The Exorcist. And it's not going to be a reboot, but it's going to be a continuation from the first movie. So they're essentially doing what they did with Halloween, because I think there are three other Exorcist movies.
I've only seen the first. And I think that, that's a little teaser into how much I care about the reboot, is that I watched the first one and was like, that's enough.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wait, wasn't that the one that terrified you at a party?
Oh, there's multiple reasons. One was like, no, thank you. Never going to watch that again. Because I was like 10.
Yeah.
And second reason was like, I mean, what else? What are you going to do with this? You know?
Mm-hmm. I'm just kind of
curious. I guess there's a lot you could do with it. It's just a movie about exorcisms.
I really need to rewatch that one. I haven't seen that in years, but I remember really liking it, and it's a classic for a reason.
It was upsetting, that's for sure.
But I just wanted to see how you felt about David Gordon Green getting a hold of that franchise, because he certainly changed things up with Halloween.
I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah.
Like I said, I mean, The Exorcist, while terrifying to me as a child,
sure, it's goofy now.
Yeah, I just don't, there's not, you know, it has its own, it lives in its own thing. That's fine. I don't think I'll be curious to see what he does with it. I'm glad it's someone who isn't scared to like do something different.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like you said, he did change up Halloween a little bit. Well, he directed it. I don't know if he took any part in the story, but
he did write. He helped write it.
Okay, good.
Remember? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, I just wouldn't care about like, let's do The Exorcist again.
Mm-hmm.
But like with newer cameras or whatever, it's like, okay, why? So yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I was seeing a lot of people were at first excited when the news was announced. Again, this is some older news, but it kind of got brought back up because after Halloween Ends came out and how controversial that was amongst
everyone's
the fans,
mad.
Everyone is now kind of worried about what he's going to do with The Exorcist. I don't know if he's writing it, but he's directing it for sure. So, well,
not to like, I don't want to, you know, get too worked up over here.
Wait a second. Are we about to go into Jeff's heated corner?
No, I don't think so. I
hope not. Man.
That was close. But multiple things. One, people are worried, really. You know what I mean? Like, oh no. But The Exorcist, I want it. It's just like, just wait till it comes out.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can judge it all you want once you see it.
True.
But I get it. You know, I get worried about movies or whatever, but it's just frustrating.
Well, it's one of those things that we talked about. We've talked about this probably a few times, but how if you don't like something, especially if it's part of like a reboot or a requel, whatever you want to call it, you can literally just not watch it. You can ignore it and you will have this is, I guess, specifically pertaining to Halloween, you will always have the ones before, like Halloween 4 through 6, the Thorn trilogy. And if you didn't like kills or ends, just fuck it. What did you say? Hashtag not my Batman.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
And it's one thing if, one, you've never had a version that you liked or that you felt represented what you are into.
Uh-huh.
Or two, it's like just a drawn out. You're like, okay, this is the eighth one. That's this. Can we do something different? I feel like those are the two more valid responses.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like, it's just a new take, whatever. Or like, you know, if it's, again, with the Halloween, it's like, well, I liked the first Halloween and then, or the Halloween 2018. And then now I'm mad that this one I don't like as much. It's just kind of like, get over
just
it.
Just calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You make me sigh.
Well, I personally am looking forward to it. I like exorcism stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Demon stuff always like just intrigues me. I love it.
Me too.
So
I will say The Exorcist is kind of known for being gross and mm-hmm. it's an old movie. So I feel like they're going to lean into that, which I do not want. So I don't want a modern version of, again, it's not a, like you said, it's not a reboot or whatever, it's a remake.
A direct sequel to the first one.
Right. But I don't want like someone,
so like
jamming a cross into their genitals
uh-huh.
made in 2022. You know what I mean? I'm good. No, thank you.
Wow. You saying that, I'm now just like, yeah, they will probably go out of their way to make it more like in your
like
face.
Like upsetting, intense. You know? Yeah. Like all the barf and the pee. And I'm like, ugh.
Well, we'll see one way or the other.
Yeah.
So let's
see.
Maybe
it'll be great.
That movie is coming out in the future. I have absolutely no idea when it is coming out.
In the future.
So if any more news on that develops, we'll probably talk about it or maybe bring it up. But we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Oh, one final thing on my part. I did watch most of Cabinet of Curiosities on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
And I think it is very good. I really enjoy watching all these different horror directors take on these stories. Although I did mention how there was one in particular that I was looking forward to, Dreams in the Witch House by H.P. Lovecraft, or based off of the H.P. Lovecraft short story. That episode was probably the most disappointing of them all.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, the one I was looking forward to most, of course. They like took little bits of and elements. They took a house, a witch, ruins and stuff, and like a rat with a man's face. But they just like changed the story completely.
Oh.
Like, it's about this guy who's like taking these drugs to cross over to the other side to try and rescue his sister who died like 20 years before. And I was like, this isn't the story that I remember. Mm-hmm. And I went onto Wikipedia and looked it back up because I was like, I remember liking that. And they're just kind of completely different things.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. And I tried, once I realized that, I tried to kind of put the two in different boxes,
right?
Or try and see them as two separate entities. But unfortunately, just the entire time I was just bummed out and I didn't really enjoy it that much. I honestly can't tell if it was really that good of an episode or not.
Mm-hmm.
But there was one in particular, the episode 7, that I really, really liked that had Peter Weller, aka Robot Cop, and a handful of other people, Steve Agee. That
was
really,
that
really good.
Do you remember?
I can look that up. Cabinet of Curiosities. It was called The Viewing.
The Viewing.
Yeah. Yeah. There was like a really cool bit at the end that was pretty gross, but cool. Mm. Yeah. You haven't watched it yet, have you?
No.
Definitely.
I do want to, though. I'm going to watch those.
Definitely recommend it. I just have the last episode, episode 8. Actually, I might watch that later this evening.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like it. I hope it gets like a second season. I love the fact that Guillermo del Toro has worked on it. I was really hoping to avoid saying that name. It just kind of came out there. God damn it. Well, yep. So that was Cabinet of Curiosities. And yeah.
Nice. I'm going to check that out.
So I think that rounds out the Horror Hour this week. No Jeff Seated Corner? Any?
Surprisingly, no.
Grudges? Anything you want to air grievances?
Any grievances? No, I got a little heated there for a moment, but I think we avoided it.
You
calm
down.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be looking forward to that.
We
got to
get like
time.
A little, one of those little like meters, like a radio, radioactive guy.
Yeah. Oh, it's getting closer to the red.
Oh, and then it's like, and it cools down.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nope. I'm good.
Perfect. Well, this week we decided to watch a movie that neither of us had seen. I had been requested this before from some people, and I've been told about it. I've heard about this movie, and I thought this would be the perfect time to watch it. You had not seen it either, so we decided to sit down and watch it about an hour ago.
Mm-hmm.
So this week we are talking about the movie Basket Case from 1982, written and directed by Frank Henenlotter.
What is the secret Dwayne is hiding in the basket?
What's in the basket?
Some of the tenants claim to have heard noises coming from this room, like someone on a rampage.
What's in the basket?
As always, Jeff, let's have a quick summary of this movie from you.
All right. You guys ready?
Yes.
This movie is about a young man and his basket. And in that basket is his twin brother. Whoa.
Sorry.
Touching toes. Just over
touching
here.
Toes.
In that basket is his twin brother, who's kind of like a little mutant guy.
Mm-hmm.
With fangs and no legs. And they are about town in New York City, the Big Apple. And this little monster boy likes to eat meat and people. And they're going around to try and eat the doctors who separated them when they're young. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Nailed it as always. Well, let's get into it.
So let's talk about that movie.
So this movie begins cracking with a kill. We have a doctor being stalked. As you said, there were these doctors that separated them at birth. Mm-hmm. We don't know this yet, but he's being looked at through bushes. The power gets cut to his house.
Very, very Friday the 13th or not, Halloween. Lots of like breathing in the woods from the perspective of the killer.
Mm-hmm. And we get a kill immediately off the bat. The doctor gets just his face like torn open.
Yeah, it's kind of there's kind of like a monster glove that just kind of smears around on this guy's face, and there's lots of blood.
So with that being said, not a lot happens in this movie.
Nope.
It is a bit of a slog.
It's a slow burner, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the ending really, really builds to that.
Yeah, I feel like this is one of those movies you could probably like cut down
mm-hmm.
to maybe 40 minutes.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And that would have been like a 40-minute movie in total.
Yeah, it could be like an episode of TV.
I think it was about an hour and a half.
Yeah. Lots of slow panning and people walking upstairs and, you know.
Yeah. So we are introduced to our main character, Dwayne. He's in New York for the very first time and he's loving it.
Living life with the biggest haircut I've ever seen.
Oh my God, it was huge.
Whenever it would show a close-up of his face, it literally took up like most of the screen was his massive hair.
Uh-huh.
Like almost like a really curly mullet, almost.
Something like that.
It was a good like half a foot tall.
So he checks into a hotel, which is filled with a cast of colorful people there. Mm-hmm. They're your typical New Yorkers. Hey, I'm walking here. Hey.
Hey, I'm wearing an undershirt at the front desk and I'm angry about it. That right? You were just on the East Coast. I just want to make sure.
It was like I was back there. It's like I never left.
Yeah.
And it was crazy, man.
Old guy standing next to the counter. Oh, what you ever been to New York before? You know, lots of that.
He has some interesting neighbors, too. We meet a woman who just tells him a random story for no reason.
And then doesn't even seem like the end of the story. And she just she's like, yeah, this old lady and she lived in this house and then just turns around and walks down the stairs at a brisk pace.
Never to be seen again.
I was like, whoa, OK.
Whoop. Yeah.
Guess the story was over.
We meet another character named Casey. She is his neighbor and we're introduced to her character with a little jazz music. It looks like.
Yeah, a little bit of like, you know, a pan up from the. From the legs, like, dwannel, dwannel, wow, 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 sexy legs. You know, one of those.
That was really good.
Thanks, dude.
Yeah.
So awkward for sure.
Without a doubt. Guy's just touching her butt.
Oh, that's right. And there's an old man just standing behind her, kind of in the weirdest way. Almost, he's kind of squeezing this woman's butt as you would maybe like pet. Well, I can't even think. It was like a gentle, like weird rub.
Like a caress, sort of.
Yeah. And Dwayne's just standing there kind of staring.
Mm-hmm.
And she like gives him a wink. like, hey, welcome to New York, mate.
Can you stop winking at me?
And then they go into the room together. So she's, my assumption from that is, you know,
a lady of the night.
Lady of the night.
Or day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A day walker.
So he checks into the room. Wow. Was that a vampire?
Yeah.
Wow.
I guess they're not day walkers, but anyway.
What is a day walker?
I don't know. It is something, right?
Oh, that's what vampires would call Blade.
That's right. Just
have vampire and then you're like, day walker.
Day walker.
Yeah. Anyways, Dwayne goes into his room and he's carrying this huge basket that we have no idea what's in there. Well, actually, we do. You just look at the cover and it's his half brother.
Yeah, there's a big old padlock on it. And everyone keeps saying, what's in the basket? He's like, clothes. And then someone, the little man by the counter is like, he's probably filled with alcohol. He's going to throw a party for us.
He's loaded. So are you.
So are you. But it's his brother.
Yeah.
His wrinkly brother.
We see Dwayne. He has these papers that he took from the doctor's house in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, he's tracking down all of these doctors that have separated him and this deformed twin brother of his. I guess we'll just kind of jump into that.
Yeah, you know, it is, the story is told kind of out of order. Obviously, we're like, huh, they're stalking these doctors and we don't know why. But it is, it's the doctors that separated them, not at birth, but when they were like 13 for some reason.
So when they were,
so they're like getting payback, I guess.
Yeah. When Dwayne was born and Basket Boy, which is actually, you called him that and I wrote it down and I now refer to Basket Boy throughout all of my notes there.
Yeah. His name in the movie is Belial, but we're just going to call him Basket Boy.
Yeah. So they were born. The birth, unfortunately, killed their mother and the father is very upset and he just lets Belial hang out on his side up until that age of 13.
Mm-hmm.
And he has an aunt that shows him unconditional love and takes care of him, even though everyone else is just like, it's a freak. Oh, God, what's wrong with it? And when the aunt is out one weekend or something, the father has these doctors come to their house where they set up like a procedural table.
Yeah, in their dining room.
Yeah, like a little doctor's surgery room. And he has it removed.
Mm-hmm.
They think that it is dead, Belial, but he's not. He gets tossed into a trash bag and thrown out by the garbage cans. And we learn that Dwayne has like a psychic connection with
basketball. It's very, very similar to like E.T. where Elliot has a psychic connection to E.T. He like, they like share thoughts.
Yeah.
So Dwayne wakes up and is like, oh no. And he looks at his side and he's like, my brother's gone. And then he finds him in the trash. And then they decide to go into the basement.
Oh, yeah.
And construct a death machine out of what looks like just rakes. Tools, like garden tools. Yeah, rakes. I think there's like a, maybe like a hammer in there.
They also have the biggest like buzzsaw that I've ever seen.
Yeah, the blade is the size of a pizza. And it's somehow motorized and on a track.
Yep.
A slow moving track. So, we learn that this plan was concocted to kill. I'm assuming their plan, their goal was to kill their dad, because the dad wakes up in the middle of the night that night and hears sound
machinery going
machinery
on.
And like zzz, and like hammers going off and wood being cut. And he's like, Dwayne, is that you? And he goes into the basement.
Oh, my God. Real quick, I do have in my notes, because this was a very long scene of God, him going throughout the house.
Yeah. And this was like much later in the movie, but
it's just like a man takes a really long walk and you see him go down all the stairs. Oh, my God. I did think that Dwayne was making the basket that he carries his brother around in. I thought that'd be hilarious.
I would have laughed so hard because it was like heavy machinery. And then he goes down with just a wicker basket sitting on like a tool.
Look what I made, Daddy.
Daddy, I made basket. Never mind. I'm not even going to finish that. But it wasn't.
It was
not. Instead, he finds, oh no, a saw, a pile of tools. And then a classic like Austin Powers style moment where he just stands in front of it as it slowly drives towards him. And he goes, no, no. And then it cuts him in half, it seems like, somehow.
Yeah, you only see his legs. And there's a weird like little edit jump too.
Yeah, it shows it's like from his calf down and one leg falls to the left and then there's like a jump cut and then the other leg falls down too. It's like, oh no, he was cut in two.
Yeah. I don't fully understand how that machine worked, but hey, it did somehow.
Yep.
So that's the father out of the way. The aunt realizes that Dwayne is a killer.
Yeah, she's like, guys, don't worry about it.
Yeah, the cops are gone now.
There was no, she specifically says, there's no evidence. So the cops come, their dad's cut in half.
Yep.
Down the middle, top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
There's a machine with a giant saw made out of like household items on this weird track. And they're like, nah, oh, no, no foul play here. We don't know how he died.
Everything maybe
just
normal.
Fell apart. And it the happens. Aunt is there. It's like, well, you would be a suspect at mm-hmm. least. But she's like, don't even worry about it. I talked to him. The cops are gone. I'll be your mom now.
Yeah. So I guess she takes care of the two of them until she passes away. And this is when I'm assuming that they decide to make their revenge plan.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads back to the beginning of the movie. And we have Dwayne going to the second doctor's office where he meets a nice girl who she was very aggressive when he told her that he hadn't had time to see any of the sites because he just got right. there that day. And she keeps asking him, like, did you go to the art museum? Did you check out the Statue of Liberty? Did you go to the Twin Towers?
Yeah, he's like, no, not yet. And she's like, wow, you don't have time, huh?
Yeah.
Huh, you don't have time for that? You have time to go to the Met? Huh, how about that? It's like, whoa.
You haven't been to the Central Park? Huh?
Wow, I guess, okay, you just fucking hate New York? It's like, damn, lady, what? And they never explain. And then she just falls right back into like, well, anyway.
Would you like to go see some sights with me?
There was a lot of that in this movie where I feel like the director was like, this scene, just do it like this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look extra confused. And none of it made sense to what they were saying. And I did read, actually, in the trivia that this is his first movie. Mm-hmm. And the writer-director, and he was like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. So every scene, he would be like, I don't know. If there's nothing scary happening, I'm just going to make it weird. Maybe I'll make it funny. Oh, just say this in a weird way. Uh-huh. And I definitely could tell.
So this movie has become a cult classic now, and I understand why, but man, it is long. At an hour and a half, it feels much longer.
Oh, yeah. It felt like 2.5.
Mm-hmm. Well,
yeah, we meet Casey?
Sharon.
Yeah, I keep Casey, mixing the two.
Casey is
names
the neighbor.
Right.
At the hotel. So yeah, he meets Sharon, and she, like you said, falls immediately in love with him, and they end up making a date. But for whatever reason, Dwayne doesn't want Basket Boy to hear because Basket Boy just gets worked up real easily mm-hmm. about everything.
Easy temper.
So they go back to the apartment. He feeds them hot dogs, which I loved. It's a morning meal right there.
Yeah, a good chunk of this movie is him just feeding like random types of meat to an empty basket.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know.
Also, the proportions of that basket do not match Basket Boy.
No.
There is no way Basket Boy could fit in that basket.
Nope.
And that lock. I don't understand how that lock worked. Can you explain that to me?
Well, it looked like it was just a regular, like, I mean, it was like a metal padlock.
Yeah. But how is it?
But it was like nailed
closed?
Onto wicker.
Yep.
Which I don't understand because there was a part on the top and the bottom, but you could just pull it off.
Yep.
Which they do.
Yep.
Later in the movie.
Yeah.
He just kicks it lightly and it flies off into the urinal.
Yeah. Somebody steals the basket at a movie theater mm-hmm. for some reason. Maybe. Everyone in New York is just mean.
Yeah, you probably got money in there.
Mm-hmm. And he doesn't die. He just gets his face ripped. There's a lot of just like
lots of like
facial attacks.
Yeah.
It's not that bloody of a movie. That's not true. It's not that
gory.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's very bloody, not very gory at all.
Whenever the kills happen, they are really bloody.
His attack of choice is like, I'm going to wipe my hands on your face and neck. And then they scream and there's blood, but there's no like wound marks of any kind. It's just kind of like, maybe that's more sinister, you know, maybe he's like extracting the blood from their body.
I'm going to go way out on a limb here and say that is not at all intended.
No, yeah, me neither. I feel like it was the cheapest possible way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Director throws on a little glove. He kind of like pushes on their face a little bit. They scream. So loud, by mm-hmm. the way. All the screaming in this movie was incredibly loud.
And really long.
And then they just use like a ketchup bottle and splort, splat. Splort, splort. Like, there you go. And you're dead. It's like the easiest possible way to do a death.
So two things happen. We have Dwayne and Basket Boy go back later that night to kill the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
What does he do? He just opens up the basket and lets Basket Boy go to town. Because we see like a door that gets knocked off of its hinges, which I didn't fully understand.
Yeah, I think he kind of like waits downstairs and he just is like, all right, buddy, have fun, and just lets him loose.
Let me say, when we see Basket Boy going around
in all his glory,
it is a trip.
Oh, because I'm going to probably say best part of the movie.
I think it's one of my favorite parts for sure.
His solo adventures.
Yeah. It's stop motion, right?
100% stop motion.
It like the jump from people moving to all of a sudden, it's just like that. I don't know why it's filmed, the stop motion.
The lighting changes even.
That's what it
is.
Like
it gets kind of like
darker,
lighter. And the lighting is more, it's like cooler almost. It's like a blue tint and it's like super choppy stop motion. And he's just kind of like, and like, crawls around the room and like knocks stuff over and does weird shit. It's like,
yeah. So the doctor gets it again. I think this was another hand to the face kill. A lot of blood.
Yeah, kind of like a smush to the face. Yeah.
And that's doctor number two down. The next day, Dwayne goes on a date with Sharon and he leaves Basket Boy to himself.
Yeah, he buys him a TV.
And the hot dogs.
To try and distract him.
And that does not work very well.
Yeah, Basket Boy does not like that. Oh, really quick, actually.
Yeah.
Quick sidebar. I just want to describe Basket Boy to
please.
Anyone.
Oh, yes, please.
So if anyone ever had, there are these little toys you put on your finger and they're little monsters with arms.
Wow, that is
like plastic.
Spot on.
You get them at like the arcade.
Yeah.
He's that made of skin.
Ooh.
And like his face is like a blank. It's like a Halloween mask. It looks kind of like a Michael Myers mask with arms.
And like big chompy teeth.
Yeah, that's right. Big chompy teeth. And then back to what we were saying.
So Dwayne's out on the date and they're getting all close and they start kissing.
Mm-hmm.
And because of this psychic connection, I guess Basket Boy realizes it and he just flips the fuck out.
Yeah, he's jealous.
He jumps out of that basket and he has a big old tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just knocking everything over. There's a great scene where he's just like lifting up a bed and just kind of hitting it on the ground.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, that'd be a great meme.
Yeah, yeah. Just like your upstairs neighbors.
Yeah.
Because it shows all the other tenants like, what the hell is happening up there? And he's like, ah, ah, just like slamming the bed down and making a bunch of noise for no reason.
So Dwayne realizes it and he just dips. And when the other hotel guests go to check on the apartment, like it's trashed, but Basket Boy has decided to hide in the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
I think.
Very awe real monsters.
Oh, no, he's hiding somewhere. And then the hotel guest, one of the ones that was like in the main lobby, who saw Dwayne with all of this money, by the way. And fun fact, you told me that the money that Dwayne has was the budget.
Yeah, he's carrying around like a big wad of cash through the whole movie. Everyone's like, whoa, big spender over here. I was reading that that's just the movie's budget. They're like, oh, we just had a bunch of cash. It was like $16,000.
Uh-huh.
But it doesn't look like much.
Sure doesn't. You can definitely tell that this movie
low budget.
Had that budget.
Yeah.
So that gentleman, when everyone's looking in the room, sees the money on the floor and he goes in to take it. And he gets back to his apartment and that's where Basket Boy is hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another death there. He gets his face scratched up or, you know, mashed.
Right.
And then the police come to investigate. There's a great line where a cop says, looks like someone was on a rampage.
And he kind of smiles, which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like someone's on a rampage. Yeah. And he like, it's like, were you in on it? Why are you like pumped about this?
Yeah.
He's like, fuck yeah, this is exciting.
Maybe that's like the craziest thing that's happened that day.
Right.
He's like, ooh, finally.
He's like, nothing really happens in New York City. This is crazy.
So this is when the cop opens up the basket and Basket Boy isn't in there. And then Dwayne finds him later on just hanging out in the toilet. And there's a scene where he guys picks him up. And again, I don't understand how Basket Boy fits in these things. Maybe like his body just like shifts or it's like I don't know.
Like jelly?
Jelly. That's yes. Yes. I was going to say like goo.
He's like the blob kind of.
Essentially.
He looks real stiff though. Cause it definitely seems like they had one prop and it was like, well, that's Basket Boy.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a foam thing about the size of like a dog and we're just moving around and stuff. And it's like, there's no way he fits in that basket or the toilet.
No, sir.
When he pulls him out of the toilet, you can see his hands just like stiff.
Yeah.
And he's like, you can tell the actor's like trying to kind of make it move. And like, he's like drying him off, but kind of also shaking him to make him move. I was like, this is so sad.
At this point in the movie, this is when we get the flashback, learning about how they were conjoined twins and the whole operation and the dad death. And he's upset. So he goes to the bar to get drunk. And that's where he meets Casey, or he runs into her and they end up drinking. And he admits to her, yeah, no, I carry my brother around in a basket.
Yeah, he's crazy. He looks like a squished octopus.
Yeah.
He looks like a squashed octopus.
I was like, damn, that's fucked up.
Because his brother is sitting in the basket right next to him.
Yeah, he just has his basket brother right next to his head.
Good old basket boy. So
she was real drunk, though, because, you know, his really good drunk acting.
Oh, God, it was bad.
Yeah.
He passes out of the bar. Casey takes him home. She opens up the basket because I don't know if she believes him or not. She sort of does, I think, when he's telling her the story.
Yeah, she's like, you're freaking me out, dude. Like, I think she was just kind of like morbid curiosity, almost like, what's in, if it's not this weird brother thing, what the hell is he carrying around in this basket?
All the time. So she opens it up. Nothing's in there. We all thought she was going to get attacked, but she doesn't.
So maybe he's just crazy, you know? He's like, all right, this psycho carrying around an empty basket being like, my brother's in here. It's like, ew.
What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
She returns to her apartment. She gets ready for bed and she lies down. And
in another incredibly long scene of just like her getting ready for bed for no reason.
Walking across her apartment, going into the bathroom, changing her shirt, putting on a new shirt.
Smiley walking, faces everywhere for some reason.
Walking out of the bathroom, lying down.
Slowly turning over. I think she like sets her alarm. It's like, what are we doing? It's not tense. It's just like boring.
Jinx. Damn.
Yeah. And then we get starts to fall asleep. And then we get a little
hand
reveal. The basket boy hand slips out and pushes the pillow out of the way. And he's just chilling behind the pillow, just blank faced. And then we get, I think, our first glimpse into basket boy being a huge pervert.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that.
Mm-mm.
That little twist-a-rooney there where it's not just like, I eat people. He's also like, I'm a huge pervert. It's like, ew, what? And he, I think, like grabs her boob.
A little bit. I think he like grazes it and that's what wakes her up.
Oh, he grazes, yeah. And then she flips out.
Understandably.
Because he's like, oh, with like his crazy teeth.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, his little monster body.
Just, yeah, all of it.
Just, yeah, just everything. And she flips out and leaves the room and wakes everybody up.
Mm-hmm.
And Basket Boy steals a pair of her panties.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that.
Exactly. It's just like, you are fully disgusting. You're a pervert. every way, really.
Yeah.
And he sneaks back into his room and gets in his little basket with her undies and just kind of like, again, long awkward shot. Scene where it's like, I'd say it doesn't sound like a long time, but I would say 7 seconds.
Probably
just straight of him like jostling panties in his basket. And it was just kind of like enough time for me to kind of just slowly look over at you like, what the fuck is this?
I look back. I'm like, I don't know, man.
I don't know. And then everyone just like freaks out in the hallway for another overly long scene.
Yep.
Of people screaming.
God, there was so much of that in this.
Oh, it just like, and it would pierce. It was like the audio is regular. And then all of a sudden someone would be screaming and we'd have to turn it down. I'm like, people are going to think we're murdering people over here.
To be fair, whenever we have a horror movie going, it's pretty, pretty loud.
True. They're like, we're used to it.
He is either a murderer.
Oh, apartment over there. I'm not going to say what apartment you're in. Apartment over here. Yeah. He just screams. Just always.
We're used to it now.
Yeah.
Still not sure if he's actually the murderer, but.
Yeah, we think he's watching movies and we, you know, probably.
No smell yet.
Yeah, we don't smell anything. So it's probably fine.
Man, we're just cracking through this movie already.
Yeah, this gives you an idea. We're basically at the end. We're not far from the end at this point.
Yeah. Well, we have our final doctor kill.
Mm-hmm.
It's Dr. Cutter, I think was her name. I didn't really write too many of their names down. It just wasn't too important. I'm sorry, man.
Well, again, this is us telling you everything important that happened in this movie. And it's like, I feel like this episode is going to be like 5 minutes long.
We're flying through it.
Yeah.
Hey, that just means less editing for me. I know, cool, right? With that.
And the end. No, So yeah, Dr. Cutter.
Yeah, I have down this is death number 5. We're going out of order, but this was...
She's the one in the red, right? Yeah. She's always wearing a red dress or something for some reason.
Yeah, the first time we met her, she was trying to like seduce a younger guy and get him really drunk.
Yeah, that was weird.
That was very weird.
I forgot about that.
And yeah, she gets the call at that point, and that's one doctor warning her, like, something's going on, the other doctor's dead, so...
Oh, the gross doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who would, like, eat sloppily.
Yeah.
He was like, ew, what?
So anyway. You're saying he had it coming, then.
Yeah, he did.
Eat properly, or you're gonna get eaten. Yeah,
use a napkin, dude, okay?
It's not that hard.
A lot of people wiping their hands on stuff in this movie. Anyway. So Dr. Cutter gets it.
Yeah. Dwayne brings the basket to Dr. Cutter, and he tells her it's a cat. And then he does like a little reveal, like, it's actually not a cat.
Uh-oh, Dwayne, getting sassy.
And she's like, oh, you're that boy that we cut open. Like, or cut, yeah, we separated.
Separated you guys when you were kids. What, are you here to thank me?
Something like that, right? And she's like, well, you can get out.
Yeah.
But first, wait a second. But what's in the basket?
It's not a cat. It's my brother.
Ah, basket boy. There's the impression I was looking forward to. Yeah. Basket boy bursts out of the basket, and it's more just, I think he's choking her, and I guess he had to have been biting into her,
too.
He
did kind of like a choke, and then also, yeah, face. Yeah, I don't know. Just like he had his hands on her.
Attacking her from the front, and then I think he gets behind her, and he's choking
her.
Right,
right.
But like I said, there is just so much blood in these. I really like the kills. I'll be honest. I think they were my favorite part. They were
goofy
and very bloody. And it kind of felt like it always came out of nowhere just because of how
I do boring. Like how random it was. Yeah. Yeah.
So she dies, and Basket Boy goes out of his way to shove her face into a drawer filled with knives.
Right. Well, it was like her medical equipment.
Yeah.
Just like you open a drawer and it's like, yeah, there's like scalpels and stuff in here, I guess.
And it's lying just.
And he just slowly pushes her face into the drawer, and then it cuts to her screaming with like implements sticking out of her face,
yeah.
Which I fully don't understand.
I like that you just turned to me and you said, so we're just going to go with that, huh?
Well, it's like if you took someone's face and shoved it into like a silverware drawer, mm-hmm. and then they pulled up their head and there's a bunch of forks sticking out of it. Like, mm-hmm. how did that happen? Anyway,
Basket Boy, baby.
Basket Boy, you know, he's got his ways. So she does a classic scream and then slowly crouches out of the screen, out of view.
And Dwayne and Basket Boy somehow managed to escape this room, and no one knows how the death happened.
Yeah.
So he returns home, or he returns back to the hotel. Sharon, the girl he went on a date with, I didn't mention, when he gets back from hanging out with her, she kind of follows him. And he's like, get away from me. I don't want you involved in this or whatever. And he just shoves her right out of the way.
Fully shoves her out the door, like the most aggressive shove.
Mm-hmm. So she comes back around and she's like, I don't like the way things ended. And they go upstairs and they start to have some sexy time.
Yeah, she's like, I can't stop thinking about you, even though you treat me like shit. I was like, okay.
That's healthy. So she says, take me, Dwayne. And they're about to start. Well, they're kissing. There's a whole lot of kissing. Face smashing.
Yeah, like, yeah. Kissing is loosely, I don't know if that's what I would call it. It was a lot of like just shoving their mouths together.
Lots of tongues going all over the place. Yeah,
just whipping to and fro. And then you get a slow, Dwayne just kind of puts his hand on her boob.
He does the left one first.
The left. And then. They're just kind of awkwardly staring at each other, and she just slowly raises her arms above her head, and I'm mm-hmm. like, what's happening? This makes me so uncomfortable.
And he gets the other boob,
and then slowly his right hand, boob number two. We even said, I forgot, I just hear you go, boob number one, and then he's slowly boob number two.
Yep.
And then I think that's when she's like, take me, Dwayne.
Yeah,
I was like, no, don't, this is so uncomfortable.
And so that psychic connection, which we do learn, Basket Boy is able to communicate psychically with him too, like talk to Dwayne through his mind. This upsets Basket Boy and he throws another tantrum.
Well, also just in Basket Boy's defense.
Yes.
He was just chilling on the dresser. He could see them.
Uh-huh.
He's like, dude, we're brothers. Please don't have sex in front of me. This is insane. So he pops out.
You know, I have Basket Boy gets upset for some reason. You just gave me the reason.
There is a reason.
Wow.
He's like, wow. And you think I'm the pervert? He busts out of his little basket.
And he's just
totally freaks out.
Sharon tries to get up and see what's going on.
And Dwayne handles the situation. I mean, beautifully. What else are you going to do? You're going to pin her down with the coldest stare I've ever seen.
Yeah,
like, I'm going to murder you. While she's screaming bloody murder, like, let me up, let me up. And I was like, well, he's going to kill her for some reason.
But he doesn't.
Instead, he wraps her in a blanket and shoves her into the hall and locks the door, which is, again,
classic Dwayne move.
Classic Dwayne, man. Charming.
She just ends up leaving. There's
after
a shot.
Screaming his name over and over in the hallway.
I did like the shot because it was looking down the stairs and it's like three flights and she gets in the middle and that's when she turns and yells, Dwayne! Again, for some reason.
Yeah.
I just like that angle. I thought that was
Dwayne!
A cool angle.
I was like, whoa, that was weird.
I bet everyone in this hotel is like, this, what has been going on? Yeah, this, like, has been a weird couple out. Days. Yeah. Everything was fine before he came around.
Yeah, we're cool with, you know, who cares? We got some people having sex in here for money.
Mm-hmm.
They keep to themselves. This dude has a crazy wicker basket.
He's making noise all hours of the day.
He's slamming things, breaking things. People are dying. Like,
he's throwing a lady around in a blanket.
Yeah. Yeah, she's screaming. Like, everyone's just chilling. Like, what's going on up there?
Oh, that's weird.
Maybe Dwayne's having a party.
Classic New York City, huh?
Yeah.
Well, she leaves and this is when Dwayne just gets upset and he's like, I can't have a normal life with you. Ah. And then he just goes to bed.
Yeah, he just goes to sleep after that. He has a little bit of a breakdown. Yeah, and then he just goes to sleep. And then we see, right? We see
a new bit of Basket Boy. He pops out a little bit and
pops out a little bit in his eyes, right?
They start to
glow red a little bit.
So I've been trying to think like what that is.
Superpowers.
Oh, I guess.
Right?
I guess.
What were you going to say?
Maybe. I don't know.
He's from Krypton.
Obviously, the red kryptonite makes him angry, like in Smallville.
And horny, Smallville.
Is that what the red kryptonite does?
Okay.
Oh, it makes you a cool guy.
It makes you really cool.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
Specifically only in Smallville.
That's right.
It makes you wear a leather jacket and you're a dick to everyone. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I'm Mr. Cool. Want a kiss?
And it makes everybody
want you
more. Stupid bitch.
And it's like, whoa, excuse me?
Yes, please.
And it's like, well, it's because this rock is radioactive. It makes sense. So that's probably what happened with Belial, a.k.a. Basket Boy.
How did Clark get the red kryptonite? Wasn't it like in a necklace or something and he wore it?
It was a ring. I think it was a ring.
Oh, it was the class ring?
You got me, dude. I haven't seen that show in like 20 years.
But you love Smallville. Somebody save me.
Shout out to the Smallville podcast that's happening right now.
Don't care how you do it, just save me. Come on.
You singing a Basket Boy?
Yes. That's how I would calm Basket Boy down, just by...
just singing Sweet Nothings into his ear.
That's right. Some Remy Zero.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Remy Zero.
Do they have any other...
Nope.
Nope. Okay.
Don't think so.
Well, hey, Remy Zero, you killed it.
You
killed it with
one.
Why make another one?
Yeah, why ruin a good thing?
I will say they should make a Basket Boy... excuse me. They should make a Basket Case remake.
Would you really want to see that?
Nope. And Remy Zero should do the theme song.
Uh-huh.
And that's, I'll leave it at that. I do have a cast in mind, but we don't need to go over all that.
We can cover that in a little bit.
Yeah.
We're pretty much at the end of the movie now.
True.
There is a scene of Dwayne running down the street naked.
Oh yes, he falls. Okay. Well, okay, yeah. We have to regroup here.
Basket Boy
Dwayne
gets out
falls
of the
asleep. Basket Boy gets out of the basket. His eyes start to glow.
We have some more amazing stop motion.
Yeah. Stop motions around the room like a freaking, just a crazy animal.
Mm-hmm.
Jumps up into the window, gives a classic groan, classic Basket Boy groan. And then leaves, we're assuming.
Yeah.
And then we jump to Dwayne's dream.
Yep.
Which I don't know if you realized. He's experiencing... what Basket Boy is experiencing, but he's seeing it as that it's him.
That's kind of what I was going to say. Maybe like the red eyes
something
is
to do
him
with that.
Like seeing through Dwayne at that point.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. It's like he's projecting.
Yeah.
In a way.
I have a great quote here from you.
Okay. Yeah.
It says, carpet does match the drapes.
Oh yeah. Yeah. did we mention he's naked?
Yeah. I think we did. Dwayne is
full frontal naked running through the streets.
Yeah.
You know, his big old hair
matches his big old bush.
Just, you know, his thing swinging in the wind. That took me by surprise.
Me too.
Because it jump cuts from, you know, basket boy in the window groaning straight to naked man running down the street, which I was not fully not expecting.
I mean, if we can say one thing about this movie, they get us every now and again.
Right. You know,
they surprise us
around every corner.
Yep.
I actually do have some trivia about that as well.
Let's hear it.
So the original scene was supposed to be basket boy running through the streets.
I would love to have seen that.
They realized, how are we going to do that? We don't have any money. We just don't have the expertise.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, they can't do stop motion down the streets of New York. It would look terrible, even worse than the other scenes in the movie.
Yes.
So the director was like, well, why don't we have Dwayne streak? So they called the actor and they're like, hey, would you be cool with this? Like running naked down the streets of New York, like actually doing that.
Okay.
And he was like, hell yeah, that's hilarious. That's a great idea. So without a permit.
Yep.
They had a system where they had two heated vans. They would park on either ends of a block. One van would dump out the actor. Mm-hmm. He would sprint down the street naked, hop into the other van, and then they would leapfrog and they would go to different blocks and until they got all the shots they wanted.
Wow.
So they just brilliant. Had a naked dude running through the streets of New York.
I like that it was the actor too. He's like, yeah, I'm down.
He's like, sure, man. Yeah, this sounds a great idea.
Guarantee he wasn't getting paid more.
Yeah. So, you know, no wonder they asked him back to do Basket Case 2 and 3.
This is the same actor?
Yep.
Wow.
But yeah, so he runs to, Basket Boy. Well, we see Dwayne, but it's Basket Boy running to
Sharon's house.
Sharon's house.
Man, this was a weird scene.
Yeah. Probably the most upsetting scene in the movie.
Definitely. So the shots that we see are of Dwayne's hands. He's made it into her house and Sharon is sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And he's kind of just like rubbing her face and her legs. And then we see some boobs.
Yeah, he's disrobing or like pulling the blanket down and kind of like, for lack of a better, you know, he is molesting her. She's sleeping and he's molesting her.
Then Dwayne wakes up and then we see the hands change.
He wakes up sweating. Yeah. Like, like he woke up from a nightmare.
Yeah.
In his hotel room.
Uh huh.
And then, yeah,
we see the hands are now Basket Boy's hands.
Mm-hmm.
She starts screaming.
Yeah. She wakes up
and he just chokes her to death.
Yeah, we couldn't really tell.
Yeah.
Again, it looks kind of like he just kind of like wiggles his hand on her face a little bit and kind of like gently touches her face. But mm-hmm. she doesn't like that and is screaming and then dies.
Yep.
So we think he was supposed to be choking her. I don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah. Or scratching, like you said, maybe. I don't know.
Dwayne arrives because he sees where Basket Boy is. He
chases him down. Yeah.
And she's dead. And then there's something kind of weird. I'm not really sure what was happening, but Basket Boy is like rocking on her and it looks like he's like rubbing his bottom.
It looks like he's trying. Yeah. He's trying to like rub his little
whatever he has. It's like
body
the bottom
on her.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to like have sex with her.
Yeah.
And she's dead.
Yeah.
Which was upsetting. And apparently, again, I read that even the crew on the movie was like, no, fuck this. Like, we're not going to be around for this part. Like, everyone was like upset by it. So they left the set. Like a bunch of people left the set. They're like, this is too much for us. Even like they filmed this whole movie. And they're like, fuck this.
This is the part we got to say no to.
Yeah.
Well, Dwayne is obviously upset.
Yeah.
He grabs Basket Boy, shoves him back in the basket, returns to his hotel. And he's waking everybody up because he's shaking the basket and yelling at it.
Yeah, kind of like whipping around the hallways.
He gets
like, just because you can't doesn't mean I shouldn't or something like that.
He gets to his room. And at this point, everyone in the hotel is now like outside of his door.
Mm-hmm.
And Basket Boy's had enough. So he pops out and his little hand grabs Dwayne right in the dick, lifts him off of his feet.
Oh, yeah.
Just holds him there for a little
Maybe
bit.
Maybe my favorite scene in the movie.
It was ridiculous.
Dwayne's arms and legs just waving around in the air as he screams. Oh, yeah. Oh, just, yeah, like 3 feet above the ground as little Basket Boy just holds him by the crotch.
Does Basket Boy jump out at this point? And he's wrestling or kind of like grabbing onto Dwayne.
Yeah, I think they're like wrestling around.
And everyone is now seeing Basket Boy. They see mm-hmm. this thing, you know, attacking Dwayne. And they just tumble out the window.
Yeah.
Basket Boy is hanging on to a sign. And he's also hanging on to Dwayne.
By the neck.
Is he?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, damn.
Well, so he's like holding. He's like he caught them so they didn't fall to their death. But he's hanging on to his only grasp is Dwayne's neck. So mm-hmm. Dwayne is like. Hanging to death.
Yeah, I didn't realize
and
that.
And Basket Boy's like, uh-oh, like, if I let go, he dies. But if I keep holding on, he dies also. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of like hanging there like, uh-oh, oopsie, what did I do?
Basket Boy has put himself in a pretty dire situation. Pretty bad one.
And then we see down by a taxi cab, a couple more ladies of the night. One of them kind of looks over and sees them and exclaims something like, oh no, all ladies, look up here, or something like that, in the weirdest dialogue. And then just a crowd of people forms instantly. And they're all freaking out about these, you know, this little monster boy and man hanging from the hotel signage. And then they fall.
Apparently to their death.
Yeah.
Well, so I thought.
They hit the ground and there's some blood.
Basket Boy, yeah, he's bleeding. Mm-hmm. Dwayne, I think, is like legs at a weird angle. Mm-hmm. I would assume, again, that they were dead.
Right.
But then you told me there's a basket case 2 and 3.
Yeah, and that they're both in it.
And then I read on Wikipedia, just like the first line, they get taken to the hospital and they're okay. Something like that.
Right.
But that's pretty much the end of the movie. We see their bodies on the ground and they're surrounded by people. They both look dead. And then the credits start to roll. And coming in at 1 hour and 31 minutes, we have a movie that felt so much longer.
I gotta say, do not recommend, personally.
Okay.
I wouldn't say anyone should watch this. I will say you should jump on YouTube mm-hmm. and search Basket Case.
Watch the trailer.
And just watch the scene of Basket Boy just freaking out in the hotel room. Because that full scene is on YouTube. It's like 3 minutes long.
Oh, perfect.
2 minutes, 80 seconds, something like that. And then you're good. You don't need to watch the whole movie.
I, on the other hand, am going to recommend this movie. I had fun with it for the most part. I understand why it's a cult classic. It definitely is just a low budget, kind of wacky. I don't know if I want to say poorly made movie.
I do.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, the acting is
not great.
Real bad.
It
yeah.
May
no
not
offense
sound
to any
like
of
I
the people
this.
Who were in it, but wow, the acting was bad.
I enjoyed this for the most part. My biggest gripe was just the pacing and mm-hmm. how long certain scenes were. I love the design of Basket Boy. I think he's gross looking. The kills were bloody. I like that. We had a total of, I think, 6 kills, all very similar to each other, but some were more creative, like with the knives in the face.
Right. Or there's a scene where Basket Boy's like somehow standing on a wall mm-hmm. when one of the doctors walks in. So there's like some creative scenes there.
There was effort put into it. But
I mean, sometimes watching movies where the acting is bad and the effects are bad is fun.
Exactly. And I think that that's what this is for me. I think it's
I would
that
agree.
Fun bad.
The pacing just kills it for me, where like I would not watch that movie again. It's way too long, you know.
I will probably end up watching this again at some point in the future, like not anytime soon, mm-hmm. because it's a very straightforward movie with a very straightforward plot. Everything's very straightforward. It just takes a long time to get to that point.
Right. Are you going to be watching Basket Case 2 and 3?
I don't know. I kind of want to because they sound wacky as hell. And mm-hmm. you were reading some things about the second or the third mm-hmm. and it just sounded weird.
Yeah. And from what I read, they just get weirder as they go. Yeah.
And you also said they have more of a comedic tone, or they become a little bit more funny.
Yeah. It seems like they really lean into it. So this one is like the tamest, and then they lean into the weirdness and like the kind of comedy element in the next two.
I think
a little more.
That's what this movie could have used more of, for sure. I don't often say that about a movie. Make it more funny, because usually that can ruin it. Mm-hmm. But for a movie like this, just embrace the ridiculousness of it.
Totally. And they kind of tried to a little bit, but it was definitely very, yeah.
And like you were saying, it's the first one. They're trying to, I guess, establish some things before they can make these changes that may have benefited the future films. Right. I'm not sure about that.
And it was his first movie. And they, again, I think their entire budget was like 16 grand.
Wow.
So it's like, well, they didn't have, or at least their original budget. So I'm not surprised with what came out.
You were telling me when the director found out the movie was kind of becoming a cult classic, he was kind of upset by it.
Yeah, he was apparently not happy about that. I don't know if he made the second too, because originally when he made it, the whole thing was he was like, you know what? No one's going to see it. Mm-hmm. We'll just make a weird movie, release it. It'll be kind of fun. And then it became a cult classic like 30 years later. And he's like, no. Like, I don't want my name tied to this.
It'd be funny if he has made like a bunch of other films, like well-known films. Mm-hmm. And then they just all get overshadowed.
He
by
like
this
worked
one.
On The Conjuring and stuff.
Everyone's like, boo.
You're like, oh, you're the director of Basket Case. He's like, no, fuck.
God damn it.
Yeah.
Well, let's move into our rating system. Jeff, out of 5 basket boys in a basket, how many basket boys in a basket would you give this movie?
I would give this 2 basket boys out of 5. It was kind of goofy, kind of fun, a little bit upsetting. You know, you got some shock value in there, but overall just a little too slow. Maybe, you know, I was a little tired today. Maybe that was part of it where it's like the slow movies and you kind of, you're like, oh, my eyelids are getting heavy.
Yeah.
In the scene of this guy, quietly walking through a building for 10 minutes. But yeah, 2. What about you?
Well, first off, I mean, you are 100% correct. It is slower. Maybe we're tired, but also if there's a good movie with like a good plot and a good story and things that intrigue me, even if I'm tired, like that will keep me going through
True.
It.
True. Yeah, you're right.
And I'm kind of like in that same boat where I was a little tired today. We had a bit of a late start, yeah, the both of us for today's episode. So I am in that same boat where the length, if you felt it.
Yeah, you really felt that length on this one.
But for my rating,
you just really like going in, you just really felt the length.
I feel like possibly
this movie.
Now knowing, or like going into this, not knowing what to expect, those long scenes felt extra long. So I'm wondering maybe if it's one of those movies where now knowing what you're getting into and what it's going to be like, it might feel a little bit shorter, or it might feel a little bit quicker, or it's just like, oh God, this is still,
right. Still you're the like, same. Oh no, again. Yeah.
For my rating, I would give this 3 basket boys in a basket out of 5. I had not a lot, but I had a decent amount of fun with this. The more I'm thinking about this movie, the more I might have to check out Basket Case 2 and 3. Not with you, of course. I don't think that's something that interests you, but the kills could have been gorier, but the blood helped make up for that. The acting was terrible. It was, you know, it's a B movie, it feels like, essentially. And
I feel like not even for me anyway, if the kills were just more creative or more interesting, you know, I've always said that where it's like, if it wasn't him just like scratching their faces every time, even that would have amped it up a little bit. We're like,
I agree.
Oh no, he pushes someone down a trash chute. And then another one, he's like, drag someone behind a taxi cab, or I don't know, whatever it would be if you're a little basket boy, but that kind of thing would up it. Also, I feel like honestly, the concept alone pushes it from 1 basket boy to 2 basket boys to me. The fact that it's a movie about a guy carrying around his brother in a basket, I'm like, that's a full basket boy right there.
I mean, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
The more I'm thinking about it too, I think this would be a really good movie to remake.
Right.
Speaking of remakes, you said you had a fan casting in your mind for your hypothetical reboot.
Yes. Okay. So I would make the hotel manager a bigger character.
Sure.
He would be played by a comedian. His name is Stavros.
That's or Stavvy.
Okay. And that would be he would be one of the major characters.
Mm-hmm.
The character of Dwayne would be played by, what's his name?
What's he in?
DJ Qualls.
Okay. Wow.
Wearing a wig.
Love it.
That looks exactly like Dwayne's hair in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And Sharon would be played by the actress who played Topanga.
Okay. Is she still around? Not dead.
She's like, doing a podcast about Boy Meets World right now, actually.
Nice.
Shout out. Podcast friends. And then Basket Boy would be voiced by
Vin Diesel. I don't like that.
You don't like that?
Nah.
He did the voice of Iron Giant
and Groot. Groot.
Okay, we'll change that. He would be voiced by the guy who did the voice or who played Worf.
Oh, Michael Dorn.
Michael Dorn.
Would he actually say anything, or would it just be Michael Dorn making noises?
He would be making noises, but he would be doing it like,
wait a second. What's that I hear? Is that a Star Trek reference?
Without that star to your day.
3, 2. It's a hat.
God damn it!
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Na 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 na. A return to form with a classic Star Trek reference. But anyways, you were saying he would talk.
He wouldn't speak English.
Okay.
But he would like speak in nonsense in his regular voice.
I'm Michael Dorn.
And he'd be like, Belial, I forgot his name.
Me too.
Don't say that about her. I like her and we're going to go on a date together. And he's like,
I'm on board with that.
Nice.
Especially Michael Dorn. Oh, that's brilliant. I was going to say, I was imagining now Bradley Cooper doing the voice. It's his rocket voice, just because he said Groot. Hey, I'm a Belial over here. I hate myself.
Maybe you should do the voice of Belial.
How much am I getting paid?
Enough.
Enough to...
Big numbers. Here. All right. You'd be getting paid.
I'm going to slip you this piece of paper.
Hold on. Okay.
All right. Sliding that across the table. Jeff, there's nothing on this.
What if
you put that down? Is that a gun?
You will do the voice of Belial. Okay.
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 Ooh, close one. Why did you have a gun?
Let me just wipe my tears. Yeah.
What is this? Why do we do this?
I don't know.
Well, I think that is a brilliant fan casting for sure. I'm on board. I think a remake would be great to see.
I'd watch it.
Yeah, we'd have to.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like if we cover an older movie and they end up making a remake, it's something we just have to do at this point.
One last caveat.
Let's have it.
For the Basket Case remake, they should do a theme song in the vibe of like the Ghostbusters song.
I'm a basket boy. Basket boy. My name is Belial. And my brother's name is Dwayne.
Basically, yeah.
Can I get paid for
basket
that?
Basket boy. Basket case.
That'd
so
be
we're
going
to cut like 10, 20 minutes off the end of this podcast?
I think so.
Okay, good.
No. Absolutely not.
I'm sorry.
It stays in. It's content.
Everything is content.
I never said it was good content, though. All right, well, let's move into our classic segment.
Tops and bottoms.
Love it or hate it.
We read off one 5-star review and one 1-star review.
Of this movie. Let's start with the 5-star review on Letterboxd from user K1 Chains. I wanted the hotel manager to fuck me senseless. But, you know, the movie itself will always be iconic. A small favorite of mine. 5 stars, baby.
Nice. I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. We got a 1-star over here from PR guy with a little avatar of Goofy.
Cool.
It's a long one. So strap in.
All right. Buckle on up.
It's titled Lost in Basket Weaving. During this, my Sunday fright night, I have watched 3 horror flicks. As many of you know, horror is my forte. Just look at my love life. LOL.
Wow.
My latest and last was supposed to be a cult classic, Basket Case, made in 1981, 24 years ago. Yikes. I was a mere baby, get real, when it hit the screens. The premise of the story is rather basic and tragic. Siamese twins are separated at the hip during their teen years. One is a nice guy, the other a horrific monster. Bottom line, the film wasn't worth the electricity it took to power my DVD player. If there is one or two things that irritate me about horror films, it is constant screaming. I swear, they likely spent more money auditioning for screamers than a director or producer. The shrills are totally overbearing. I was afraid every stray cat in the neighborhood would be waiting on my doorstep when I finally turned the loser off. The second bottom line is the lame portrayal of women. If I ever see another film where a woman trips, stumbles, or falls while running from death, I'll scream louder than any of those shrill freak fanatics. Get my drift? Whatever you do, don't waste a dime or your time on Basket Case. Watch a rerun of Friends, I Love Lucy, Good Times, or even The Munsters. You'll have a much better time. So that review was written by a psychopath.
Seething.
And confusing.
A little bit.
I feel like we need to do a whole review of that review.
We might have to. Future episode right there.
Yeah. Interesting that someone would recommend an episode of Friends to someone who is interested in watching Basket Case. I don't see like the parallel there, but.
Well, just like this segment, we're getting 2 sides of the spectrum there.
That's right.
Friends and Basket Case, 1 5-star review and 1 1-star review. Jeff, you have any final thoughts on this movie?
My final thought is, oh no, what happened please, nobody else watch this movie.
I do have to agree with that one star review, though. There was a lot of screaming. We already did say that, but my God, there was a lot.
Same. The two things I'm going to agree with, lots of screaming and hotel guy. I'm going to fuck that dude. Silly.
Senseless, baby. Well, I think that's going to bring us to the end of the episode. Jeff, why don't you wrap us on up?
Oh, okay. I know, put me on the spot.
I came out of nowhere.
Didn't realize I was going to have to fucking do this. Okay. I guess you can review the podcast wherever you want to review the podcast, or you can follow us on Instagram at Her Witch's House of Horror. You can follow me on Instagram at Art of Jefferson, or Ugly Cowboy Co, or, you know, leave a 5-star review somewhere. We'll read it on the podcast and we'll make fun of you, or thank you for leaving us a good review.
And only 5 stars.
Yeah, if you leave us a 4-star review, you can burn in hell, because I thought we were friends. Apparently we weren't. So
be sure to just put this podcast on literally everywhere, on a computer, on your TV, on your friend's computer, on your friend's TV.
Just let it go. Let it run.
Any of it helps, and we really appreciate it.
Love you.
I would like to give a quick shout out before we close things off to a listener. The past, I think, 3 or 4 episodes, we've been getting a download consistently from Queensland.
Hi.
So hello out there to that listener. Hang on 1 second. I knew where it was originally. I think it's Brisbane. I think it's Brisbane that they're listening from. So
I believe so.
If you are listening to this episode, hello, shout out. Thank you for, you know, giving us some support and giving us some listens from across the pond.
That was upsetting.
Yeah.
From the garbage fire that is the United States. We appreciate it.
I meant to say like hello in an Australian accent, and I did not.
And thank you for listening to the last episode you'll ever listen to, because we offended you and scared you away.
Yeah, I'm really sorry about that. But thank you again for listening. Leave us a review if you wouldn't mind, or not. You do what you
pressure.
Want.
No pressure, man. Or, you know.
So. Don't forget, everyone, you can buy our shirts over at the website, herwitzeshouseofhorror.com. On top of that, I think that might be everything.
Yeah, we'll see you. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for coming back after that little break. And I should have said this off the bat. Jeff, happy 6 months.
Hey,
been doing this for
that's right. Happy
quite
six,
a while.
Yeah, happy six.
A little over there. Yeah. So thank you also, everyone who has been listening and continued listening. And we really appreciate it. This is fun. And we're going to keep on doing this until the day we die.
Mm-hmm.
You're roped in now, Jeff. Ugh. I hope you're ready.
Nope.
All right. Well, thank you again, everyone, for listening. And as we say at the end of every episode of Horwitz's House of Horror,
this film wasn't worth the electricity it took to fire my DVD player.